is a very important passage for the local church because it gives one of the three bases, if you will, for church discipline. A lot of people think that church discipline is only Matthew 18, and that is one of the reasons for church discipline. Matthew 18 is when there's a difference between two people and they can't get it resolved, and it gets out of hand. Then they get witnesses involved, can't get it resolved, then they bring it to the church, and the church gets involved, and if necessary, church discipline takes place. That is one of the reasons for church discipline. The second one is sin. When there is public sin, that brings reproach on the name of the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. That person has to be spoken to, and if they refuse to repent, then they have to be disciplined. We have the example in 1 Corinthians 5 of the man openly living with his mother-in-law and Paul telling the church to remove him. The third reason is found in this passage here this evening in Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, and that has to do with doctrine. So the Bible isn't telling us that if someone comes along and doesn't agree with your doctrine that you kick them out. But if someone comes along and doesn't agree with your doctrine, but they're trying to spread other doctrine, they're trying to spread false doctrine, they're trying to, one by one, sneakily, if you will, convince people of doctrines other than what we believe. And we obviously publish that on the internet, on our constitution, so there's no secrets about what we believe. Then that's when they've stepped over a line. And that's when this has to take place. So that just to give you a bit of background, verse 17 of Romans 16, the Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So we'll entitle it tonight, Avoid Them. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you would guide us and you would teach us. And Lord, we would be responsive and understanding and learning and applying your word to our lives. And that you would, Lord, protect our church from false doctrine. We know that it will only get worse in these last days. So may we have the discernment that we talked about on Sunday. Lord, that we are ready when it comes our way. But I pray that you would guide us in your truth and be glorified. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So one of the key words in this passage is that word doctrine. Notice it talks about offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned. And notice in the verse 18 it talks about how they use good words and fair speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple. So God here is saying that when this happens, and it can, someone comes along and they're trying to spread doctrine that's contrary to the doctrine that we have learned, that they have to be marked and they have to be avoided for our own protection, if you will, and for the protection of God's flock. And this is extremely important. Let's go to Acts 20 and we'll see where the Apostle Paul, Acts 20, verse 28, he was saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus. And he warned them that this would take place. Now, of course, this was 2,000 years ago, and it definitely has been taking place for those 2,000 years because the devil, as we will learn at family camp, one of his wiles is to deceive and to make people doubt his word, God's word. Notice Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." It's a beautiful verse. It teaches about the deity of Jesus Christ. It talks about the importance of pastors feeding their flock the word of God. But look at the next verse. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So he's teaching these elders that one of the best preventative medicines for when the wolves come is obviously to feed the flock the word of God so that they are more prepared, more armed for when the wolves come. And then there's another passage in 2 Thessalonians 3. Let's turn over there if we could. Very similar passage. A warning to beware and on the lookout for those trying to spread false doctrine. Notice 2 Thessalonians 3:14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So there's that word note. And then 1 Timothy 5:20, we'll see it again. 1 Timothy 5:20. He says, Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So here we see God commending past the pastor Timothy to rebuke those that sin. So there's that other church discipline that we talked about. And then, of course, we have Matthew 18 as well. So here in Romans 16, 17, he says, mark them. And then in verse 17, he says, avoid them. So let's look at 2 Thessalonians 3 again. If you're still there, good. If you're not, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. So mark and avoid. That's the action verbs that we are to follow when someone comes along and trying to teach other doctrine, truth. Notice 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after tradition which he received of us. And then go to 1 Timothy 6, if you would, and verse 3. These are local church exhortations here in 1 and 2 Timothy because they're written to pastors. Notice 1 Timothy 6:3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. So you can see the consistency there. Again, it's about doctrine, and it talks about how the devil uses these people. It talks about questions. It always starts with questions, doesn't it? Questions and strifes of words. So the Bible says to be careful. And then in 2 Timothy 3, we'll see it again. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. Now we are commanded to love one another as Christ loves us. No question about it. But God says we also need to be careful when someone comes along and is trying to spread false doctrine. By the way, they never try to do it publicly. They always try to do it sneakily and quietly, little by little, which we'll see in verse 18. Well, let's turn there in our passage, Romans 16, 18. He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches. So notice, they don't walk in the door and say, aha, I'm from the devil, and you need to hear what I have to say. No, they use good words and fair speeches. They're usually nice people. And they come across as nice people. But that isn't the issue, is it? It's not about how nice someone is. It's about whether or not the doctrine that they're trying to teach and spread lines up with God's word. And we have to be on the lookout as God's children, like we talked about on Sunday. Because why do these people use good words and fair speeches? To deceive. To deceive. Well, who's the deceiver? The devil. It's one of his names. We read all through Revelation about how he deceived the nations. He is the deceiver. And so we have to be on the lookout, the Bible says. If this happens, somebody comes along and says, you know, your church is not teaching right. Well, your ears should tingle right then. And if they are trying to sway you or deceive you or use their good words and fair speeches to say, really, you need to believe something differently, then it's time for you to say, you know, maybe we shouldn't be hanging out so much together. The Bible says avoid them. That's a command, isn't it? Because their goal, they don't know it, but they're being led by the devil to deceive and lead people astray doctrinally. This happens so often, and it has happened so many times in the past 2,000 years. Especially in certain areas, like take for example Calvinism. How many churches in the past 2,000 years, well, since the Reformation anyway, have been converted to Calvinism? They weren't Calvinist and now they are. How did that happen? This is how it happened. People weren't ready, they weren't armed, and people came in and little by little. They kept throwing out their Calvinist doctrine. And before you know it, then they bring in a Calvinist pastor, and then it's done. And by the way, they never go back. Once they go Calvinist, they never go back. But that's just one example. This has been happening for 2,000 years. The devil knows what he's doing. And so we, as God's children, have a responsibility to know God's word, like we talked Sunday, to have that spiritual discernment, so we're ready. When someone comes along and says, you believe wrong, let me tell you the right way. Or, I found something new. There's nothing new under the sun. Amen. The Bible hasn't changed for 2,000 years, so they didn't find something new. That's how cults get started. So another couple of examples, 2 Timothy 2:14. Let's turn over there. It says of these things, 2 Timothy 2:14, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So you see these key words that God is using and referring to these people that are being used of the devil. Words like subverting. Words like the passage we looked at earlier, which talked about deceiving. And some of these other words we've looked at, that's the devil. The devil hates churches that believe the Bible. He doesn't use this method in churches that are already not preaching the gospel and don't believe the Bible. He doesn't need to bother. They're already leading their people to hell. But churches that believe the Bible and preach the gospel, and where people are getting saved and people are grounded in the word, he hates that, especially when they serve the Lord Jesus Christ and when they witness to the lost. He really hates that. So what does he do? He sneaks in and he uses a person to do it. He doesn't walk in the door with horns and a tail. That's not how the devil works, is it? The devil always appears as the good guy. Let's look at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The devil never appears as the bad guy. He always does his best to appear as the good guy. So it's going to be someone that's nice. It's not going to be someone that's really mean and rude. It's going to be someone that's nice. And they're going to come across with fair speeches and good words. But notice 2 Corinthians 11:14. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of darkness. Is that what it says? No, it says angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. His ministers. People ministering his doctrine. He's the God of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. They come across as the ministers of righteousness. That's why every Christian, every church has a responsibility to study the word, to know what they believe and why they believe it, so they're ready to defend it and ready to mark when this happens and avoid those trying to spread false doctrine in God's local church. God says mark and avoid. to protect yourself and to protect the flock. That is his command. So very interesting passage, this third reason for church discipline. The first being differences that don't get resolved. The second being sin. And the third being people trying to spread false doctrine. So again, just to make this clear, this doesn't mean if somebody walks in the door and they don't agree with us 100% that we boot them out. That's not how it works. We want them to come. We want them to grow in the Word. We want them to learn the Scriptures. This is only talking about people that come, they already are grounded in their doctrine. And now they're doing their best to try to spread it one by one to try to intentionally harm God's local church. They don't know that's what they're trying to do, but the devil does. So that's the distinction, is that they're trying to spread it. People come all the time that don't agree with us 100%, and that's good. They can grow in God's Word, amen? As they come and hear the preaching and teaching, and they can grow, and they will come to me typically and ask questions, and that's a golden opportunity to sit them down and show them the Scriptures, and then they grow in the Word. That's totally different. That's not what we're talking about here. But when somebody comes along and says, let me teach you a better way, mark them and avoid them. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. We love it, and we are so blessed to have it. And Lord, it's our guide, and we just pray that we would be in it and study it and be ready and be always on the lookout, Lord, in these last days for the ministers of the devil who come across as the good guy trying to spread false doctrine, doctrines of devils. So, Lord, help us to have that discernment and be ready. We love you in Jesus' name.